Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I am Cynthia Johnson. I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson. Oh, and we're your hosts this morning, along with Gloria Wells, who moderates our chat room. And I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend, spending time with family, eating turkey, ham, sweet potato pies, collard greens, cornbread dressing, cranberry sauce, yum, 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 yum. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. I love this time of year. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you? I had a happy turkey and a merry cranberry.
Hey. I know we did. It was wonderful. It was quiet. I worked all weekend, but other than that, it was awesome.
It was awesome. It was fun.
Oh, well, listen, I want to share with everybody that Friday, we are having a wonderful, wonderful guest. I've mentioned it to you before, but I'm going to mention it every day this week. Rasha, who is the author of Oneness, is going to be on our show. And let me tell you something. The energy, she is just amazing. The clarity of her relationship with oneness, and she's so comfortable to tell you that oneness is God. I mean, this was just an amazing interview. You're absolutely going to love it. And so in honor of this interview, and this is a big thing for Circles of Prosperity, okay, because we did a four-month book study on oneness. It's a pretty large book, and it's not easy to get through, but we hung in there and we did it. And but she is the first author out of all of the books that we have had as book studies to come on the show, and I'm so excited about it. I am just so thrilled. And so to share this with you, because it was a dream that I had that we would do these book studies and that we would have the authors come on the show to share their experience of writing the book and to bring clarity about what the book is about, so that we, you know, we just to validate some of the things that we were thinking and to hear it from them. So I am thrilled that this has worked out the way it is, and I hope that you share in the excitement. And listen, have your friends to join in on this interview. Even if they can't make the 7 o'clock presentation, you know, they can always listen to the archive. She has a wonderful meditation. It's 15 minutes long. It's at the end of the show. And you are going to absolutely love it. So it is a show that you're going to want to download just for that that meditation. It's amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to put that little bug in your ear. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie. I didn't leave you out, baby. I was going to ask you to shift the energy for us this morning and give us a wonderful, powerful opening prayer.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the energy of love, peace, prosperity, and the coming ascension. Let us understand that the ascension itself is a spiritual process that we all have to go through, including the earth herself. And I'm glad that you are directing this energy and this process, which all souls have to go through, regardless of their spiritual development, because of your love. Let us understand and love the energy of the higher levels of experience. I know that the earth and all of its inhabitants are going through this wonderful ascension process right now, which starts December 21st, as predicted in the Mayan calendar, and goes beyond the year 2012, way beyond. Everything on earth, I thank you, has to ascend spiritually. And that's why we're all here on the leading edge at this time. We are so grateful, and we're learning from our past experiences to get better and better and better with age, and shedding the old and welcoming the new. We are embracing all that is good, nature herself, everything in the universe, the angels, the ascended masters, our ancestors, those who went before us. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Always possessing gratitude, not just at Thanksgiving, but all year round. Thank you, God, for all the listeners. Touch them with your hand. Touch their hearts. Touch their minds. And let them experience profound abundance and profound love in all that they do. And let them use the magic wand of speaking and thinking always in a righteous way. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Wow. I just love your prayers. I just love your prayers. You know, as I mentioned to you earlier, we're going to do Oneness Revisited. And rather than going from beginning to the end of the book, I'm just going to kind of go through whatever the Spirit moves me to touch on. And this morning, it fell on chapter 18. And here's what's so cool about it. Chapter 18 is really talking about emotion. And we just came out of the Abraham materials talking about emotion. But it's a different twist to it. So it's an expanded version of what we've been talking about, but it's breaking it down into a different, a little differently. So listen, how many of you are in relationships that just aren't working, or you find yourself attracting the same kind of people, or you may be in a relationship where you really have an addiction to the other person? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the how to shift your energy so that you can get out of these situations that you know are not serving you, but you don't know how to get out of them. Okay, so it says that disproportionate emphasis on little things that occur begins to bring into perspective the priorities you have placed upon certain areas of your life. Once the process of transformation is fully underway. So basically what they're saying, when you get on a spiritual path, when you are developing a stronger relationship with your divine essence, that the little things that you put a lot of emphasis on, remember, whatever you think about, you talk about, and whatever you talk about, you bring about. When you focus your attention on these little annoying things, they become huge when you're on the spiritual path. Okay, but it's all a part of the transformation process. You know, a lot of people say, well, in the church, they would say, well, you know, the minute you turn your life on over to God, the devil will come and just make things difficult for you. You're going to be challenged. It's the same concept. When you're moving, because you are asking to have a closer relationship, you're asking to be in alignment. Well, you can't take all of the garbage with you. You have to clean it up. And then the minute we're in the middle of the garbage, we freak out, not recognizing that we have asked for this, the opportunity to transform our lives. So you will begin to become aware of your own reactions to incidents and recognize your own overreaction to certain types of scenarios. Your own emotional response is your cue to tune into categories of emotion that you harbor, well hidden within your energy field. Isn't that what Abraham told us? That let your feelings be your guide? let your emotions, if you have a strong negative emotion, there's Abraham says, that's pulling you out of alignment. That's a signal you're out of alignment. The same here in oneness. If you have a strong negative emotion, that's letting you know you have some work to do here to change that vibration. Your reactions have little to do with the individuals or the situations in question. These vehicles for your own growth have been strategically scripted into your drama as catalysts for directing your awareness to the deeper issues that are still held energetically within you. Your emotions are about you, and this is where we tend to fall into a trap. We have all of this negative emotion. I can't stand him. Oh, he irritates me. Oh, I don't like when such and such and such and such happens. And we go on the attack of the other person. Stop it. That whole irritation there is there for you to say, whew, that's a strong feeling. I can't deny that he's an irritant. I can't deny that, but wow, why am I feeling that? What's going on inside of me that I feel that? And so rather than pointing the finger at the other person, you need to turn it around and point it at you and delve into why you feel the way you do. And by the way, notice that this is the same technique that Gary Zukav told us to do. He calls it those frightened parts of our personality, to have the courage to look at those frightened parts. I have some people in the chat room this morning, and I can't type and talk to you guys too, so, but I just want to give you a shout out. Good morning. And I love you, Pam. Good morning. And to our guest, good morning. Okay, so when you become aware of these recurring scenarios that trigger very strong emotional responses, take the time to distance yourself from the scene in question and to look carefully at what may be symbolized by those circumstances. Because until you begin to do so, you will continue to manifest this scene again and again and again until I'm sorry, there was some, I thought Dr. Reggie had, I got a little distracted. I thought something fell. Okay, so the situations that most feel like a thorn in your side are those that pose the greatest potential breakthroughs for you in terms of your conditioned responses that keep you stuck. So playing out the same scenes over and over again, you know, you want to break the record. So to free yourself from ongoing patterns of repetition on given themes, it is necessary to attain a level of detachment. And here is the secret. Okay, number one, they're telling you that the whole reason you continue to repeat these scenarios over and over is because you have work to do. And then they tell you that the way to get out of this is to become detached. So here you are, you have this strong emotion. Oh, how do you detach from that? It's so strong. How? The measure of importance you attribute to a particular theme is directly proportionate to the degree of repetition you can anticipate as your life experience. It's going around and around in a circle, right? But what they're saying is, the more you think about it, the more you indulge in that, oh, you make me angry. The more you indulge in that negative emotion, the more that the situation is going to come up over and over and over again. We understand that principle, don't we? Yes, we do. What we think about, we talk about. What we talk about, we bring about. So to transcend that pattern and to break the cycle, it is necessary to what? Surrender. Surrender to the process and cease resisting what is being presented. How did Abraham say it? You're in the middle of the stream, but you've turned your canoe going upstream. And you're paddling as hard as you can to fight against the flow. Turn the canoe around and go downstream. That's all that they're saying here. Stop resisting. Let it go. Go with the flow. I love when a good plan comes together. To come out of one book and go right into another book in the middle of the book and get the same lesson. Here's what they go. Here's what they continue to say. Confrontation and attempts to force one's own will upon such circumstances are a sure recipe for more of the same. No, I'm just going to make this work. I have to make this work. I cannot. No, I can't fail here. Push, push, resistance, resistance. If I work hard, I can change it. If I work hard, I can change it. Oh, Lord. And that just means you're going to get more of it. Isn't that something? So when you continue to manifest adversity, hold on now, despite having theoretical understandings of the nature of creating your reality, it is time to dig for the underlying common thread that ties the entire history of such experiences into a cohesive volume through which real insight might be gleaned. So what they're telling you is, okay, you're in the middle of your mess. I like to break this all down because sometimes the language is a little stilted. I'm just assuming that we are all, you know, I want you guys to get it. So what they're saying is, when you understand how to manifest, you understand the process of creation. You understand that it begins in thought. It begins in mind. So why is it that, and I've had this thought, why do I continue to create the same crap over and over? What am I doing? I don't want this. Why does it keep coming? And they said, it's now time for you to begin to look at something underlying, an underlying theme. What is really underneath here? And you know, that's why what I can tell you is that the bottom line, there is some level of fear, some level of feeling not worthy of the higher thing that you desire that is blocking it from manifesting and that is attracting the drama. So the point here is that we always have an opportunity to grow if we will seize the moment and stop attacking the other person on the other side or even attacking yourself that you're in a sticky situation. Because, and understand that that situation is there to say, oh, baby, wake up. Wake up just a little bit. And let's go inside. Let's go inside and figure out where the confusion begins. That takes courage, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So, a sense of receptivity combined with an openness to the opportunities presented is the state of being that will manifest for you the circumstances that best reflect your true heart's desire. For that which you have wished for at the highest level is often there before you and drifts by unnoticed simply because your energies were focused upon the manipulation of circumstances where the energy did not flow with ease. One cannot hope to transcend physicality and simultaneously remain bound to it. It is not possible in these times to force a favorable result that is not forthcoming with ease. Woo! And attempts to do so only prolong the time needed to transcend that conditioning. Wow. Now, I'm going to tell you what stood out for me. That in these times, you can't get a positive result, a favorable result, if it doesn't come about with ease. In other words, if you are struggling right now in any area of your life, if you are struggling, you're on the wrong road. Because what oneness is saying is, in these times, life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. There should be no struggle. Are you breathe on that one? There should be no struggle. I love it. I absolutely love it. So if you're struggling, it's not even a matter of figuring out why. It's a matter of coming into the realization that everything that you desire already exists. It belongs to you now, and you need to move in that. So I release the struggle. I no longer struggle in this area of my life. I know that my good is here now. And I'm moving into the joy of that rather than into the misery of this struggle that I'm going through over here. I choose not to do that anymore. Wow. They call this the concept of non-attachment. Can you see how that word fits? You're in a mess over here. You're not investing any more emotional energy into that because, of course, emotions are what? Energy in motion. I'm not investing in you anymore, struggle. I'm not. I release you, let you go. Go bother someone else, not me, because I know who I am. I know who I am. So the concept of non-attachment to the outcome is the key to becoming free from the tethering to the recurring dream or nightmare, which may well be your life at present, okay? And for the situations you are creating in these times are poignant examples of these themes, calculated to get your attention despite the level of discomfort that may be invoked in the process. So long as you are emotionally invested in that outcome, you have laid the groundwork for your continued imprisonment. So I hope that that has been profound enough for you to release the struggle, because the longer you hold on to it, the more you're going to be involved in it. And this is what I love about oneness. Oneness says it is there. That discomfort is there. That struggle is there to wake you up. That's it. To force you to move, to force you. That's why we had a caller the other day that said she was flat on her ass. She said it. I didn't, okay? So, and Dr. Reggie was saying, sometimes we have to break things all the way down to build things all the way up. Oneness is saying, you're flat on your butt right now because I want you to be aware of who you really are. Wake up. And it's not to tear you down. It's really to wake you up, to take you to a higher level. Dr. Reggie says, you have to go through something to get something. In other words, you're going through this to get to a higher level. If you climb a mountain, and it has, I mean, it has, imagine, you've seen these movies. I've never climbed a mountain. But they're trying to figure out their path on how to get up the mountain, the best place to put their little spike to climb up that mountain. And it is not easy. They struggle. They face death. They fall sometimes. You know, but they have safety ropes, but they fall, and then they have to recalculate and recalibrate their, you know, to get up. But boy, when they get to the top of that mountain, it's victory, isn't it? And the view is magnificent. The view is magnificent. So you're climbing your mountains in these struggles, but when you get over it, the old folks say, oh, joy cometh in the morning, because you're going to have a magnificent view. The point that oneness is making is to detach yourself emotionally from the outcome. Don't invest your creative energy in the struggle. Invest your creative energy into that which you desire. See, if you invest in the struggle, that's the after effect. When you invest in the desire, you go in. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is within. Oh, this is a great lesson. It's a great lesson. Now, here's what they talk about when you're attached to certain individuals. Attachment to certain individuals who you may have cast in your life script. See, they're giving you credit that you brought them here, okay? Is yet another category of tethering that must be examined in these times. In other words, we get attached to people, and we need to, but we've brought them into our lives. We're responsible. You know, you didn't meet this person by accident. You brought them into your life. Certain beings are there for you in order that particular issues come to the forefront of your awareness and play out as dramatizations of those themes. And these individuals are there to sing a particular song. So when you are complete with those issues, the song is no longer necessary. But prolonged contact with such beings only subjects you to unnecessary repetitions of discordant tunes. And I just love the allegory here, how they relate this, the relationship. You know, sometimes you get into a relationship, and in particular I'm going to talk about male-female relationships, but you get into this relationship and it's and you're all excited, you know, you've met this wonderful person and, oh, you know, it's just great, 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 and there's all this excitement in the beginning, and then, you begin to slowly recognize things about this person that just don't really meld with you, not to say that you don't care about them, but sometimes, you know, that you guys aren't really a vibrational match, let's put it that way. And so now they become an annoyance to you. And what oneness is saying is that, you know, there was something there in the beginning that you needed to deal with, and the annoyance is what you need to look at right now. Why is that? And that you really just need to say, you know, I love you, you're a beautiful person, but I need to release you to be, you know, to release you now, and I need to move on because this isn't working. And that annoyance is like hearing a wrong note in a song. And every time that person does something, you hear the wrong note. So now what oneness is saying, you need to release that. First of all, you need to examine why, what is underneath you that is so annoying about that, and then you need to release it. You know, I used to, I didn't have patience with children because their energy is all over the place. And not that, so if I was in the presence of children, I would run in the opposite direction, because if I stayed with them, I would definitely do something that their parents would not be happy about. So I really stayed away from children. Now, guess what, that whole thing about how children annoy me, running and carrying on and screaming and yelling. And I look at their parents and I go, God, how do they handle that? Because they love those kids. They love them. My whole problem with it was the fact that I had a fear of having children. And the fear, believe it or not, when I traced it all the way back, I could trace it back to I was in the third grade. And my father put me in the car, and he took me for a ride. And we were living in New Jersey at the time. So he took me from our nice little suburban neighborhood, and he took me into an area I had never been before. And it was a ghetto. And the kids were running around, and they didn't have shoes on. And I mean, it was just completely different than my experience. I see the images just burned in my mind. And my father said, I want you to look at this. And I said, okay. He said, now, do you want to live like this? And the fear just went all through me, because it was very foreign to me, you know. And he said, this is what happens when you don't get a good education. He wanted me to stay in school. He wanted me to work hard in school. He said, you will wind up living like this, and I don't want to see you do that. Now, you know, I don't know if it was the right thing or the wrong thing that he did, but the image sure did stick in my mind, and the connection between that life and staying in school really stuck in my mind. My father was very good at making his point visually with me. And then he followed it up. He said, the reason I want you to stay in school and to go to college is because when you get married and you have kids and your husband leaves and you have three kids, I want you to be able to take care of them. And that I was able to trace my fear of having children to that moment. So I ran from kids all that time. Now I just love them to death. They're just the most beautiful things, because I've overcome the fear. I've overcome the fear, and I embrace them. They're little people, aren't they? So I'm sharing that part of you. You know, it was deeply buried for me, and I was well into my 40s before I figured it out. Okay, so let's see where we are here. Anybody have any questions or comments this morning while I figure out where I am in this story? Press 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question or comment this morning. I'm trying to keep up with what's going on in the chat room, too. I want to give a shout-out to Brenda. Hey, Brenda, how are you this morning? Okay, so one should be prepared to weed out of one script those players whose purpose has been served by the shared history that has been co-created. It is likely at the levels of transcendence at which you have arrived that neither of you is served by prolonging the pattern of interaction. You need to know when to let go. That person was in your life to carry you so far, but now it's time to release, and you need to release in love, okay? Recognize when you are continuing to participate in interactions merely out of habit, and when the relationship is still viable and mutually nourishing. You need to be able to tell the difference if you're still growing together, if you're still serving one another, or if it's time to say, it's time for me to move on. So addiction to another being is a common occurrence in these times, because you may find that it takes a good bit of courage to let go of the familiar companionship of certain individuals. Yet when the interaction is fraught with adversity, it should be blatantly obvious to you that the potential benefit in the connection has been outlived. Harmony. Harmony is the key word here. Harmony in all relationships in which you would wish to engage. When that harmony is not forthcoming, despite your best efforts to manifest it, one is best served by walking away from that relationship, severing your ties, and doing so without animosity. Because animosity is a form of anger, which is an emotion, which will just keep you in that mess, or even if you release it, another one will come to fill in the gap. So you need to get rid of the emotion. You just merely need to detach. So for the potential benefit of terminating any relationship is nullified if one leaves the stage in a fair fanfare of emotional charge. Guess what? You're still tied to that person. If you're angry and resentful, you're still tied to that person or the symbol of what that person represents in your mind. So the object of the exercise here is to diffuse the situation with that individual energetically. And that objective is surely not served by engaging in an end scene that only fans the fire rather than puts it out vibrationally. So true indifference is not a state of being that can be faked, although many of you will go that route initially. But for indifference does not mean that there is not caring for the other being. It represents your unwillingness to remain ensnared in a particular energetic pattern. It represents non-attachment to the drama in which you have been mutually, and that's a key word here, mutually engaged. And it materializes your recognition of the mutual benefit of non-interaction. Indifference, as many would misinterpret it, terminates the relationship without nullifying the charge energetically. So if you just stand there and pretend that what this person is doing does not annoy you, it's fake. And guess what? Your soul knows it's fake. So you can't fake indifference while silently seething inside over resentments that are unresolved. It does not free you from the pattern. It doesn't release you from the relationship. It merely sets the stage for more with other players, no less. So long as you carry that vibration of resentment for wrongdoings that you feel have been perpetrated upon you, you have set the stage for a repeat performance. When one is truly liberated from this cycle, one is able to experience the drama fully without becoming ensnared emotionally. Caustic words and actions would not register as pain inflicted, but would merely be recognized just as words or just as actions, because there's no judgment as to their merit or their lack thereof. It has no value. Boy, that's a growth, huh? That takes growth. That takes real transformation. I ain't lying. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. But that takes courage. I'm going to end the lesson here. I think, if you guys have a question or a comment, want to share something with me this morning, I'm inviting you to write it out in the chat room or press 1 on your telephone keypad. Good morning, Anthony. How are you this morning?
Greetings, Cynthia and Dr. Reggie and Circles of Prosperity family. How are you all?
Great, thank you.
Good, good. I have a quick comment I need to make. I'm in a very, very peculiar situation here, and in the next, I say, 6 hours, I will need to go up to the hospital and get my daughter out. She's in a very precarious situation, and I just want to share it to the family and have y'all remember me and her. This is my oldest girl. In prayer, I feel everything's going to work out. But mm-hmm. there is some negative opposition that I know I'm going to be up against. It's been a long time thing, but my daughter, being of age, is tired of it. It's concerning her mom and what manipulative things she has been doing and trying to do. So I feel like everything's going to go well, but just keep me in prayer.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know that, you know, it's funny how you could sit back and not say anything and people find out things on their own because you know the universe is going to, God's going to show them through the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they always happen that way. So, and that's the position I took all along, you know, with my child. You know, for those of us who have children, Cynthia, it's very, very, it can be very, very deep stuff and serious stuff. You know, because sometimes there's one or two can have, you know, some situation where it just take a deep prayer and going within yourself to pray that it comes out okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lot entails with having children.
Yeah.
But every child out here is really our child.
Yes, they
are. Because we don't want to see any of them suffer or go through anything. So they all are
right.
our children.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, now the creation process starts within. So you did the most powerful thing to go inward. And, you know, since this situation comes to a hand right now, she's climbing her mountain and getting to the mountaintop. So your prayer serves well for that, you know?
It will continue to keep her in prayer, knowing that everything in her body and her mind is strengthened. She's being released from any sickness and pain, and it's going to flow beautifully like a river.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask God to release the energy that is holding her back on all levels,
mm-hmm.
and that she's made well and in full health, and she's performing the dance of life with a perfect body and perfect mind as God would have it. And we believe it is so, and so
sure
it is.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And
Thank
we pass that energy on to you and for the all listening audience to pray for her, because prayer is an amazing effect on life itself.
Her name
so
is Aisha.
Take notice
her
and
name
notice
is Aisha.
We're all going to be well.
What's her name?
Aisha. A-S-H-A. Aisha.
Aisha. Oh, that's a pretty name. Doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Anthony?
Yes.
What does her name? Does it have? What does her name mean?
It's Swahili. It means life.
Life.
Life that God has given. Swahili.
All right, well, we'll hold her in prayer. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer.
Okay. Let's all take a collective deep breath, a sigh of relief, and know that we are relaxed and serene, and we pass all negative vibrations and energy away from us. We are at peace with ourselves. We forgive all errors. And we release all guilt and sorrow. In you, Father, we are secure. We are nourished by the living universe. We see ourselves and that we are giving ourselves over to a higher power, which is you. And you suspend all of our cares, all of our sickness and pain outside of space and time. And all of the experience we have are unfolding as it should. And we know that everything is in divine order. And we're living inside the fullness of time. And we're all taken care of. Everything works for the highest good for each one of us, and everything works out for us individually. We thank you for the power of listening, the power of broadcasting radio, the power of prayer, the power of prosperity and abundance and living life itself and relationships that are in divine order. Every experience we have is a temporary obstacle. If it's a challenge to us, and we've learned from all of these lessons, that we'll get over these lessons and get over the problem and know you with us, wow, we have the winds against our back and we always work in the Holy Spirit. We believe this is so, and so it is.
And so it is. You guys have a blessed day. We'll be here tomorrow as we revisit oneness.